Everybody's doing okay?
I think so.
All right. A friend of ours, many, many moon ago, his name was Sam Taylor, and he used to travel about 90 minutes to the church from Pahrump to Las Vegas. It would take about 90 minutes. And Sam Taylor, he was one of the elders at the church. And you'd always ask him, "Hey, Sam, how you doing?" And he would answer, "Better than I know." And the older I've gotten and I've thought about that, yeah, I'm doing better than I know. Because I have no idea what's going on, you know, not just because I'm an airhead, but because I have no idea what's going on. Let's see. So I'm bringing up a photograph so I can have it later. Where can you find it? Okay. Sometimes you can just do one of these things. When we were doing that last tune and the whole idea of sometimes my heart is stone, it made me think of different types of soil. When, thinking about Iowa farming, parts of Illinois farming, that whole area of the United States. And then Sue talking about the soil having to rest and the heart being stone and fallow ground when Jesus talked about that some of the seed fell on the hard soil and it couldn't grow, it couldn't germinate, it couldn't take root, and it just died. In Nevada, in southern Nevada, there's a type of, it's part of the soil and it's called caliche, and it's harder than concrete. And if we've known people who've gone in to like dig a swimming pool in their backyard, and the guy, you know, the company will go in there and they'll have the little bobcat with the little jackhammer on the back, and they'll dig out first with the excavator, then they go in there with the jackhammer, and it's so many dollars per hour to do this.
Yeah, you have to sign.
You know, you have to sign a lease or a contract.
If you sign the contract,
that if they hit caliche.
It's $100 an hour. Well, $100 an hour.
It's like normal. You know, part of it for the pool is so many dollars per foot. You know, in the area, the volume of dirt that they're removing. But once they hit caliche, it's a whole other thing. And we've known people. One of our friends, who was like, "Okay, we're gonna have a 6 foot pool here, and it's gonna go down to 8, down to 10," and needless to say, it was about 4.5 feet. It just became a nice lap pool with no real diving allowed. And because I remember going over there, he'd be watching from the patio door going, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. He's like, "Okay, stop, stop." But that is so hard. And there's only one who can get through that in our hearts. And as we're talking about what we're talking about today and over the last couple of months, this what Pastor Don has coined this SEA, the C, the spiritually energized activist. We see a lot of activism going on in our country over the last several years, and there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of sometimes there's violence, there's destruction, there's anger. There's a lot of, you know, why do the nations rage? There's a lot of fighting between different factions. And it gets us really nowhere, if we're honest. And so a few weeks ago, we had a discussion and a little bit of a brainstorming going on here. And well, what can we do? You know, we're a small part of the body of Christ. What can we do as Vineyard Church of the Peninsula? And we thought about three different areas. And one was poverty, because there's certain segments in our community, as there are in many others around the United States, in our city, in Hampton Roads, who are devastated by poverty in one way or another. You know, they may have some funds over here, but they just don't have enough to make ends meet. You know, maybe they don't qualify for some assistance, or they're just too prideful, whatever it is. And we talked about race relation. You know, being in this area where there are a lot of different races, a lot of different ethnicities, in the military, and just, you know, because of the history of Virginia and the South, there's just issues here. And you may not recognize it. You know, if you come from one part of the country here, you may not. And I just want to say this. What we face here may be completely different what you guys have in Iowa, what you have in Kentucky. There's some things that cross over, what you experienced in Ohio or wherever else we've lived during our life. But there's some things that intersect. And what works over there may not work here. But one thing remains constant, and that is the gospel is universal. Christ's love is universal. And everything that we do needs to have that basis in Christ's love. It's not about us going out there and saying, here we are to save the day. Like when the Peninsula Vineyard at the time, when the youth went out to feed the homeless downtown, it wasn't about us, here we are. Those kids went in there with open hearts to give and to pray for the different people. I was talking online with one of the kids, he's now an adult, but who said that that impacted him for the rest of his life, going down there. And he remembered praying for a man who was in a wheelchair, who was missing a leg. And he just remembered it was just an impact of this other human being having contact with him. And the compassion and the empathy that began to well up within his heart. And I believe he's going to carry that with him for the rest of his life. He's a very compassionate young man. And But the other one was for children in our community. And specifically, we know a young teacher here, and the school that she works at, there's a lot of kids within her class and within the school. It's in Hampton. And they face a lot of issues. You know, there's broken homes. It's another ethnic, racial situation. But, you know, there's broken homes. There's a lot of trouble with the teaching. The parents aren't involved. There's not a lot of funds available. So we're going to talk about these things and hopefully brainstorm just a little bit. You know, we're not going to be here till 7 o'clock tonight. But I've called this spiritually energized activists mapping our next steps. And it comes from the Vineyard Core values. You know, as we were talking about it a few weeks ago and over this time, I've just been reminded of the Vineyard Core values. And I'm just going to run off through kind of quickly here. The first one is the theology and practice of the kingdom of God. Theology, meaning theo, meaning God, logos, meaning the word, and it has to do with God's word. Theology, knowing God's word, and the practice, which means doing, it means going, not just going through the motions, but actually doing things that we do in the kingdom of God. It's doing it his way, doing it God's way. You know, there's man's kingdom, the different animal, plant, vegetable, mineral, all that. Then there's God's kingdom, which we want to be a part of. So theology and practice of the kingdom of God. Then there's experiencing God in worship, in praise, in prayer, in solitude, in fasting, all the different disciplines where we experience God, reading his word, getting to know him, getting to know all about him. You know, is we're out in nature. As you guys drive, did you drive or fly? Wherever you are, you can look over. If you're out, if you're flying, you can look out over the earth, and you can see all this stuff. And just because I'm one of those guys, I love to just look at nature. You know, and if you drive, you know, I just put on the cruise control and look at everything. You go, and Tammy's like, "Would you walk?" But experiencing God, knowing him. The next three are the ones that we're really focusing on in this. The other two have to do with our relationship with God spiritually, building ourselves up, building our character, working with him, getting to know him, getting to know how his kingdom operates, his rules, love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy, you know, that whole trusting him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, you know, all those different things. Then the next three have to do with our relationship with one another within the church and within the unchurched. And the number three is the culturally relevant mission. When missionaries came to the United States, or when they went to different parts of the world, into Africa or into Asia, they weren't always culturally relevant. They went in with their ideas to say, we're going to introduce Western ideas, we're going to introduce European ideas, and sought to change. And we've been struggling with that, with the outcome, ever since. So the Lord has done something within the Vineyard movement to say, no, we want to be culturally relevant. Wherever we are, we need to know, just like Paul did on Mars Hill, when he looked around, he didn't go out there, remember, he didn't go up on Mars Hill and say, men of Athens, you're a bunch of pagans. Look at all these idols. What's wrong with you? Tear these things down. I'm going to talk to you about God. No. He said, men of Athens, I see that you are religious. You are spiritual in many ways. And you have many different gods. And you have one over here, the statue that's to the unknown God. Let's talk about him. He didn't go in there and belittle them. He didn't tear them down. He didn't shame right. them in any way, shape, or form. He met them where they were within their culture. And everywhere he went, he did that. And he taught Timothy. He taught others. You know, the disciples were taught how to do that. You know, Jesus demonstrated through action and through parables how to respond and how to work with people of other ethnic groups, like the Samaritan. You know, talked about the Samaritan woman, you know, going to the well. And right there, I've said this time and time again, that meeting, when Jesus went to the well and asked for the drink of water, that was the point that changed everything. It was the cross, the blood that was coming to bring redemption. But that point in time, Jesus talking to a woman, which was totally against that culture, an unmarried woman who is not with her husband or uncle or someone over her within that family, and a Samaritan, someone who was considered a half-breed, who was interracial from a group of people that the Jews looked down upon. But he went and he spoke to her and he ministered to her. And when the disciples came, they said, what are you doing? Come on. Because it just flew in the face of everything. But we can look at that as a point of no longer is the male, female, Jew, Greek, all of that whole list that Paul brings up later on. So culturally relevant. You got to remember your password. Reconciling community, to be reconciled. We know the old Christmas carol, God and sinners reconciled, you know, having reconciliation, coming together, meeting together, and making things right. Tammy being a bookkeeper and doing accounting, where she has to look at the income and the outgo of the church, of her business, of our home, and which, anyway, we'll go back to that right now. But reconciling the checkbook, reconciling the books, seeing that what's coming in and what's going out and what's happening with the money, what's happening there. Being reconciled. So reconciling community, going out there and saying, you know what, we've had some issues, but we're gonna work together. There may just be spiritual steps. We may not know concrete steps at this point. The fifth one is compassionate ministry, having compassion. It's not doing like those in 19th century England or in New York. During the 19th century, if you know anything about upstate New York, or no, it was actually around New York City, I believe, where the rich community would go into the slums and they would have their fundraising to help, you know, the Irish immigrants and different people coming from Europe. And there's this, the hoity-toity going in, you know, the Tammany Hall, the corruption that was going on there, and seeing the slum communities. If you ever want to have a brief, somewhat historical lesson, look at the gangs in New York, read the book, or watch the film or documentaries on the gangs in New York, and you can see what took place during that period of time within the United States, up in New York City. But we have compassion ministry. We're not like those who consider ourselves above. Especially if you've been there, if you've ever been in that place. You know, if you have family or very close friends who lived in that condition. One man who ministered to me a lot when I was a new believer. He died on the streets of Las Vegas as a junkie. And our pastor was there. And it's sad to see someone who was a leader in the church to go down that road. So understanding, being compassionate. Anybody can fall. Anybody can be in the gutter. So we have to have compassion. You know, just like Jesus did. It was because of his love that he went to the cross. So the first one is poverty. I'm just going to read through this scripture kind of not too quickly because I don't want to sound like just being flippant. But in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46, and I've asked Sue to take notes. So once she goes through and edits her notes, because she does such a good job, she takes notes at our leadership meetings and conferences that they go to, and we get books.
Yes.
And they're very valuable, very ordered and concise, and a lot of good information. Anyway, Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Then he will also say to those on his left. This is when the end of the age, during the judgment time. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Now there's two times that Jesus, and the one time he says, when was I good? When did I do this to you? Now this is the negative. The first one's positive. This is the negative. I just want to clarify that real quick. And he's saying, verse 42, "For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We see them all around us. Have you ever felt invisible? You've been in a need. You've been lonely and in a crowd. You know what I mean? And you just, or you've been injured in some way and you need help. And people are just walking past. They just walk past, they go around. I try to be aware of those things when I'm in a place, when we're somewhere. And Tammy can attest to this. Where I'll talk to someone. You know, a lot of times it's the cashier. You know, people working in a place, a waitress, waiter, someone, you know, those working in service. Just to take a minute. But we see this list of people that Jesus is bringing out, and a lot of them have to do with poverty. Those who are hungry, thirsty, those who are strangers, meaning aliens, not like aliens, but from different places, people who are new, and they're unfamiliar. They don't know how, where do I go, what do I do? I don't know anyone here. When was I sick or in prison? Tammy and I did prison ministry for a while. Angela's involved in prison ministry now. And it's a good place to be. You know, you get more out of it than they do. You know? In Galatians chapter 2, the Galatians, Paul was talking about this in Galatians 2, chapter 10. He said, "They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do. to remember the poor. They took up an offering wherever they went. To remember the poor in Jerusalem. To remember the poor in the areas where they were. In the Old Testament, with the tithe, bring the tithe into the storehouse. It wasn't just for the priests. It wasn't just for those who ministered in the tabernacle or later on in the temple. That was there for those who were in need. It was there for people who were in need within Israel. Those who had, they gave a tenth. And your tenth might be more than my tenth. But it all washes out because the Lord multiplies. And he takes care of, we'll get into the, when we talk about the kids and his kids at the school. There's a lot of different websites that we're going to share online. Vineyard USA has in their library a booklet called Remembering the Poor, What the Poor Mean to Us. They have another one called Justice in Our Neighborhoods and the Vineyard Justice Network. Just real quick, what are some things that we can do as a small church? What can we do to help alleviate poverty in our area? I mentioned feeding the homeless, you know, which takes time. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know, we can volunteer in a kitchen downtown Newport News. And not at Christmas or Easter. Beg you. Any ideas? Anybody thought of anything? Anything you do in your churches or you've done in the past? Think about that. I know Jeff's got a lot of ideas. He's done quite a bit in that.
So something that we do in Iowa through our church at Ames is we have bags available with kind of non-perishable, and anybody in the church can take them. And so they have them in their car. And if God brings some sort of divine appointment where there's a need, they can just give those in that sort of way. And it's been pretty impactful.
That's great. In fact, I'm paying attention because that's one of the things that I thought of. There's, you know, Ziploc bag. This particular one has toiletries. Sanitizer, a couple of snacks, you know, granola bar. It's got one of those little apple juice things. It's got tissues, toothpaste, yeah. Toothbrush. You know, there's all different kinds that you can find, you know, we can find those online. And, you know, if we go like to the dollar store or, you know, you can buy, everybody can, all right, well, we'll buy a case of toothpaste. Even if it's just the sample ones, you know, because if you get the smaller ones, you can fit a lot more in these gallon-sized bags, and you know, in the wintertime, we can get mittens and put them in there. Something or the hand warmer, that
right.
Sort of thing.
Right.
But that's something that's tangible.
Now, the clarification was this for folks actually in the church and outside the church, or
each month, team just bags up stuff. And we put the bags on a table in the back, and people can pick them up. So there may be some people that need it themselves, but other people can pick them up, and so it's very anonymous.
Okay.
And the bags seem to disappear.
And it's something you can have in your car.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you don't want to put it in the trunk and let the heat get to it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, anything, but. It's something that you can have in your car. When I did a car rental, I was an agent for a car rental place in Las Vegas, and we used to actually deliver the car to the customer. And we had a little car that we towed behind, had a little Chevy Chevette, if y'all remember those. And we would bring like a Chevy Celebrity or a Ford LTD to the customer. But I always had something in my car. because I would go to what they would call the naked city in downtown Las Vegas and have something. I always ran into people, you know, always ran into homeless or in, you know, into drug addicts and that sort of thing. But that's good. You can pick up these bags. We can put them together. Anything else? Thanks for saying that, because I was like, as soon as you asked, I got that picture right here. Mm-hmm. Anybody?
I think we've already started that a little bit. In the other room is a basket of stuff that's left over from the Andersons' move. And we can put some of that together and take it somewhere.
And we do, you know, of course, we're involved with the food pantry, food closet. And we've been doing that for a long time. And if it's bringing canned goods or other non-perishables, or volunteering down there, you know, whatever. People have been involved in that, even from a small church. So, whatever we can do. So we'll go through the next one. Race and race can be a real tough one for people. You know, depending on what period of time you were raised in, where you were raised, how you were treated, how other people, different experiences that we've had. It can be in our community, and in this area, like I said earlier, there's a lot of different ethnicities. And, you know, Tammy and I lived in a place where there were a lot of different ethnicities, a lot of different people, different backgrounds, different places. And anyway, Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. This is familiar, I believe, with all of us. We've heard it a million times. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Now, while that doesn't mention specifically race, and it mentions those who are in Christ, we are in Christ. He's in us. We love. We should love as he loves. That means we see others the way that he sees them. He loves all nations. Briefly, we talked this last Sunday, about the temple and about how there was the court of the Gentiles. When Jesus went in and he overturned the tables, the money changers, and that was actually in the court of the Gentiles. Jesus gets upset. He's a little ticked. He's a little miffed about that. He goes in and he overturns the tables. And he said, get out of here. You've turned this house of prayer into a den of thieves. Right? He said, this was supposed to be a place of prayer. The court of the Gentiles was a place within the temple where the Goya, where I could go into to have a time to worship and to pray and to be amongst those who are spiritual. But they didn't make any room for the Gentile. They kicked him out. So God wants to include all of us. He died for people of all nations, right? All ethnicities. In Genesis chapter 11, remember the Tower of Babel? Babylon. You know, where they built that thing up, and you know, they were in one accord, one mind, one language. Everybody spoke the same language. They built a tower. They were trying to get up to the heavens, and well, we can become God if we get up there. And you know, the idea is that whether it was a actual happening or just a story, the languages were confused. People began to speak in other tongues. They spoke different languages. We speak different languages. People of different ethnic groups have a different language. Not just one speaks French or German or whatever, or they have a different slang or different colloquialisms. We speak differently. The further south you go, people speak differently. Even the accents get thicker. People in New York speak differently than people in the Midwest, and people in Southern California do hang loose. We have a different language. We don't always speak the same. There was a movie that came out a few years ago, and Lost in Translation. A lot of times things get lost in translation. So we need to slow down, get to know people. 3 years ago, we had, we always get student workers from other countries. 3 years ago, we had a few that worked with us on the landscape crew. There were two from Russia, one from Turkey, and another one from Ukraine. And the guy that was from Turkey could work with the Russians, or he could work with Ukraine. And he got along great with either one. But the Russians and the Ukrainians would not work together at all. And it comes from decades, centuries of fighting one another, being against one another. Now, to look at them, they look completely the same. But they speak a different language. And they come at it from a different perspective. And they let everything of the past... It's like the Hatfields and McCoys. There's a fight going on. It's like the difference between the the Ba'ath Party and the Shiite, and different sects of Islam, where there's always going to be this infighting. I shared a story about one man that we had met who was Australian, served in the Navy, was a nurse. Was in Afghanistan working in a hospital that had been built by the Russians when they were over there fighting against the Afghan war, and there was an older woman there who was injured in some way. He put her on morphine because it was terminal. She was dying. She was going to die, and he put her on morphine. And the doctor came in and removed the morphine, removed the bag. Took it out. He said, "What are you doing? This woman's in pain. We need to ease her suffering here." And he said, "No, she's a woman. What do you mean? She's a woman. Don't do this." And I don't like using anecdotal, but I talked to the guy in right there, and he said, he hooked it back up, and the doctor took it out, and she's from the wrong sect of Islam, the wrong group. And he's like, "She's someone's mother. She's someone's grandmother." And he waited and then hooked it back up. I don't know the situation following that. But ethnic, racial issues, deep-seated stuff. And Larry mentioned last week, he's like, "I don't know." He said something about, "We don't really have that problem here, in a lot of our group. Because we try to get along with people." If you hang out at the Avalas at any point in time or over at the Anglins, and people walk by, and it doesn't matter color, gender choice, or however you want to call it, that sort of thing. It doesn't matter. "Hey, how you doing? Come on up." Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens all the time. And you just get to know people. We do that all the time in stores and wherever we are. And never mind. I don't know what it is, Tammy, but the black ladies love me, don't they? They do. I'm telling you. I don't know what it is, but
you make them laugh.
Huh?
You make them laugh.
I do, and I have a good time. Especially if I meet ones that have the gap to me. Yeah. So, the language, we're confused at the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. in Acts chapter 2. And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, districts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. That was when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the languages, the ethnicities, the races that are spoken of here are from different continents. At least three different continents. They're from Europe, they're from Asia, they're from Africa. And they're different. They have different ways of doing things. They have different languages, different traditions. But they all came to Jerusalem. And the people that came were able to hear these fishermen from Galilee speaking different languages being ministered to, hearing the word of God in their own language. So I believe that you and I can learn to speak the language of another race, of another ethnic group, by spending time, getting to know people. Y'all, you know, well, most of you know, I have my little buddy Wayne Payne up in Gloucester. I've worked with him since 2002. Y'all can do the math. I've worked with the guy. And he's my brother. You know, when he had his stroke and he came back to work and I went over to him, I said, you know, you really had me worried. And I talked to him for a couple of minutes and he started to cry. You know, and he's a real hard guy on the outside, but he's just soft as a marshmallow on the inside. And he's got a heart that's twice as big as his 5'2", 98-pound frame would suggest. There's a couple of websites that the Vineyard has and different booklets pertaining to race. And I know Pastor Don with the York County Ministers Group, you guys have been involved in discussing racial issues in the church and within Hampton Roads, right? Mm-hmm. Don has been really big in working with, you know, I mean, there's African Americans and Caucasians, different churches, and coming together. And we've done, you know, in the past, we've done the pastoral changes mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. I'd like to see more of that. Would be good. But I'm going to read a portion of the letter from Phil. This came out last year after what happened in Charlotte. And just briefly, Phil Stroud, he's the director of Vineyard Church, right? You know. Let me conclude with a quote from Josh Williams, a Vineyard pastor at the Elm City Vineyard in New Haven, Connecticut, spoken during one of our afternoon sessions at the National Conference. Speak the truth that God created, this is the quote, speak the truth that God created all of us in his image. And there is no supremacy in God's kingdom except the supremacy of the king. So as we talk with people, as we interact with whoever, it's to remember that God created each one of us in his image. There is no supremacy in God's kingdom. No one's better than anyone else. The only one that's better is the king. Then Phil continues, let's continue to hold high the words of Scripture in our churches, serving our congregations as leaders, actively modeling what it means to see God's image in everyone, love our enemies, consider others better than ourselves, and to stand in the gap as intercessors for our own towns, cities, and nations. Does anyone have any ideas, anything about race relations, ethnic?
One of the easiest ways to do it is invite someone to dinner of the opposite race, ethnic. Mm-hmm. Break bread with them. Get to know them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have you done that?
I have. Just fine. I'm looking all over the side, don't bother me. But I come over, I go over there.
You know, if you just, you know, we want to hear, we want to learn how to listen. We want to hear about other people's stories. You know, people, honestly, people love to talk about themselves. Because, and I'm just saying that there's treasure there that they want opportunity to share with people. And so just learning to listen. We don't have to have a response. We don't have, we don't know. We don't know. We've never walked in their shoes. We got to know what it's like to walk in people's shoes. So just, you know. And we, at least at your kind of ministers, this has been amazing because we can allow people to share their story and their passion and all of that. The trust develops, and that's basically it. It's developing trust.
But, you know, Tammy going in and working for Natasha House for all those years,
yeah.
You know, which really opened up a lot of opportunity in for us to be able to grow. You know, in working with African Americans in our area, getting to know people. And I like that idea of breaking bread.
Yeah.
And that was something that I talked with, you know, I talked with the Ukrainian and the Turkish guy together, and I talked with the Turkish guy and the Russians together. And I'm like, why can't the Ukrainian guy and the Russians get together? You know, when they're over at the village where they stay, why can't they get together and eat and drink and listen to music? You know, have a couple of beers together, forget everything else, and just, because things break down. You know, the a lot of the walls come down when we do that. And then don't talk about certain things. So just real quickly then about kids. You know, specifically the school in Hampton. We all know the story about Jesus saying, let the kids come to me, right? And that's about letting them come to the kingdom. It's not that we're to let our government take care of our kids. It's our job. It's our job to do it. And that's something that, that our young teacher has issue with. That the parents aren't always involved. The parents aren't always doing things. James chapter 1, this is a favorite. James chapter 1 says, pure and undefiled religion. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. In that school specifically, there's orphans. A father is not there for whatever reason. Or a mother is not there. Or a mother and a father are not there. They're being raised by another family member. They are orphans. And if they have a mother, very often that mother is a widow. Whether the father of the child is alive or deceased. The mother is a widow because she's raising that child or those children alone. And God would have for us, if we want to be religious, the pure, blameless religion is for us to take care of widows and orphans. That sounds like it should be easy to do. And it can be. There's a group that Pastor Don had talked with Anna about, and I've looked into a little bit. It's called Community Nights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S, Community Nights. And they've been around for a number of years in Hampton. And what they do is they have specific fundraisers, and they give grants to teachers for their schools to buy supplies, to do different things to help meet the needs of the students there. They've helped churches. They've helped, you know, baseball teams, softball teams, different things in the community, you know, where you've got this one softball team that they've got parents have a lot of money and they're putting all this stuff into it, but you got kids over here that want to play ball, but they can't raise the funds. So people in their area come together and they raise the money. And Community Nights gives them the money so that they can get their equipment, their uniforms, whatever it is. And so we've been looking into this a little bit, that there's things that we can volunteer as a small church to go. And I don't know all the things that they do, but we go and we do, and it may be a little bit of hard work, but we can do some things to help raise some money for that school, for that class. And, is there anything else you can think of in relation to helping out a school like that? Whether we, maybe now, Walmart has a bunch of school supplies out right now. Doing the same thing like with the bags. With the Ziploc bags, to go in there and just buy
cheap backpack.
Yeah, buy some stuff, buy a backpack and throw, and there's a list right there, whatever school. Mm-hmm. And you just, here you go, take it.
You also can target a specific school and just get a list of teachers and administrators and just pray for them.
Yeah, that's a good thing too.
House, we had groups that were playing backpacks filled with school supplies for the kids.
Natasha House is a
transitional home for women with children who are homeless or need a little bit of help. They were able to live there for 2 years before
it came to. They take classes. A lot of them aren't raised to know how to take care of things. They can't cook.
Yeah.
They can't clean. They don't know how, Well, when you buy perishable goods, maybe that has to go in the refrigerator when you get home. You can't just leave the chicken out on the counter,
Put it in the cabinet.
Don't put it in the cabinet. It's got to go. They don't even know the basic stuff, so they learn. And it takes about 2 years to go through.
Yeah.
There have been some successes. Some, it's a tough program.
Yeah, right.
Some of the ladies don't want to commit.
So sometimes there's afternoon programs where you can volunteer as mentors or tutors.
Yeah. I was talking with Anna, and it's like my mom used to be a part of that. She would go, and she never was in my class, but that was back, I think, when more parents were actively involved in their kids' education and kids' school. But you guys have anything you all do out there in Kentucky besides drink wine?
Right. Yeah, did a thing a couple of years ago. Actually, a couple of things. One was last Sunday. This wasn't for homeless, but there's a lot of teenagers at the church and in the community that go to that skate park that's in town. And years ago, they built it, and they made it with all the ramps and stuff were wood, which means that whether it was intentional or not intentional, within a year it was, just torn up. And so all there's left is a rail. And so you see eight people out there just going to do grinds on the rail. And so they figured, well, this year let's do a bless the city offering. And they're building a huge concrete skate park.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Real thing. And it's, but that's the thing is Glenn Yoder, he's one of the worship leaders there. He used to be a sponsored skateboarder when he was a teenager. He's out there with the kids.
Cool.
35 years old.
Yeah.
Pretty good. but then a couple of years ago, the same yearly offering was used to go to Kroger and wait for single moms or widows or, people clearly in need to come to the cash register. And then, no matter what the bill was, just walk up and give them a $100 bill and say, God loves you. No church is strapped to it. No, really, you can say God, you can mean anything. No real religion strapped to it. Just,
yeah,
Lord loves you. Here's your bills.
Yeah.
And simple stuff like that. Now, that's not the homeless, but.
No, but yeah. it's still helping community. And here, it's, you can touch on everything. You got, race, kids, homeless, all kinds of stuff, poverty that you can meet in one fell swoop. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the skate park thing. Yeah, so basically, cool. You guys, they're building a swimming pool and then draining it.
Right. Without yeah. that $100
amount. Yeah, without that $100.
Just limestone.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of limestone in Kentucky.
Yeah. That's
good.
Secret.
That's good. Yeah. You want lime. Anything else before we go? No? Bunch of quiet people. You're all hungry, right? You want to get out and go get lunch.
Yeah. I think we'll, as we keep talking about this, more and more will come to us. Because it sounds like the Lord is really in this. So.
I know Don wants to have more of a discussion. You know, the sign-up sheets are still here. And I think, you know, Tam and I don't always sign up for stuff. We just come and do it, right? You know, which I know upsets some people. But, you know, I'm sure we'll have, you know, probably little brainstorming sessions and that sort of thing. But the Sue will put together any notes that she has. We'll get the websites together, have some booklets, you know, because all the websites have booklets that are available in PDF. There's a conference coming up in Indiana, I think Evanston.
Yeah,
it's in August.
Yeah, August 5th.
Yeah, it's a race. Do you know what it's called? Do you remember off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah, anyway.
I think it has something to do with celebrate diversity.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, it's a celebrating diversity, and there's all different people from the vineyard and outside the vineyard that are coming to talk. It'd be great. And more than likely, it'll be another one of those that they webcast. Because
oh,
a lot of times
awesome.
They do the conferences, they'll put them out live, or you can download the recordings later on after the fact, the MP3s. So, yeah. Nice to see Grant back.
It's only 1 week.
We thought you were a myth.
Oh, yeah.
Another week and the pastor's not here.
It's August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Is that
celebrate August? Diversity? Yeah. Cool. All right. So, Father, we do thank you for our time that we have together. Thank you for bringing our guests here this morning. Can we be open? Can we be aware of those around us who are in need? Mm-hmm. Those who are facing the poverty. Can we be aware of things that maybe hold us back from loving those who are different than we? And would you give us more of a heart of compassion? To have a compassionate ministry, to have a culturally relevant ministry, and to help meet the needs in the community, but in whatever capacity that is, whatever that means to us. Give us more ideas, Lord. You are the creator, and you've given several in this small group that gift of creativity. Thank you for ideas that we can utilize to have tangible, concrete things to be able to do. The bags are a great idea for those downtown people we run into. Putting together bags or backpacks for the kids. I think that's something that we can work toward.
I'll bring in some gallon Ziploc bags.
Put in that. Right. Oh, that's good. Yeah, we'll put out maybe some more detail. In the email.
You know, and you can get a lot of things that are even cheaper than going to the dollar store or Family Dollar or anything like that. You know, you can get a lot of case stuff.
Where's that?